Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Well, welcome to this very special Intentional. This is Mother's Day, and we're so honored to be able to share this word of faith with those of you who have experienced motherhood, and now maybe perhaps your grandmother or even great-grandmoms, and you're wondering what your contribution is and what it has been and what kind of legacy are you leaving in the world as a mother. How you raise your children, the lessons that they've learned, how they mirror back those lessons to you on a daily basis. And if they're adult children, you wonder if they will pass on some of your thoughts and some of your wisdom to their children. These have to be the thoughts of mothers everywhere, those who feel the connectedness, the bond. It is often said that the strongest thing to God's love is a mother's love. And I would say that that's true. And the love that a child has for their mom, there is nothing that can compare to that as well. You may marry, you go in and out of marriages, and still you cannot find a replacement for that level of love. A few years ago, I experienced my mom passing away and going to be with the Lord. And at the age of 81, I still thought that was far too soon. There is something about having your mother be such an intricate part of your life that it doesn't matter at what age she may be, it's always still too soon. Some of my friends did not have the privilege of even having their moms as long as I did, and I can't even begin to walk in their shoes or imagine the toll that it took upon them emotionally to let go. So today, we set aside this show to honor all mothers, regardless of your age, regardless of who you are and where you come from and how good of a mom or even how bad of a mom you think you are. You have an opportunity to still grow and become a model for your child and know that you are the strongest voice in their lives. And many people that I know still speak of the things that their mother told them, what their mother said to them, how my mother taught me. And that's what girls do. And some men, you know, speak of what their mother said and what their mother taught them, the thoughts, the little nuggets that we pick up along the way. They mean a lot. You'll find yourself with traits like them and some remarkable traits. You don't even realize how much of your mom you have available to you, even if she's no longer with you today. You can still celebrate her life, her legacy, her memory, and the things that she imparted to you on this very special Mother's Day. So as we begin our teaching today, I want us to take a look at some of the women that were models, mothers in the Bible, or we esteem the model mothers because they were the first mention of certain things or certain behaviors or shadows of things to come in biblical history. Let's take a look at the first mother of all the living, and that was Eve. What did we take away from this mother, this woman who was in the Bible, who actually had been taken from man so that man could have a help meet? That means someone to go along a side of him. She was taken from his side to be at his side, not under his feet. Okay. But at his side. So we see Eve in the Bible, and she's best remembered for being duped by Satan or being deceived by the serpent. Yet her husband was standing there. I often thought that when she turned and gave to her husband, he was standing behind her, when he should have, his position was out of alignment with what God had given him. He should have been in front of her. Then she would not have had to turn to give to him. And throughout biblical history, people have blamed Eve for everything. Well, it was Eve who took the apple, and the Bible never said it was an apple. What she really received was the words of the serpent. And when you receive Satan's words, you have received his fruit. A tree is known by the fruit it bears. So she received the fruit of Satan. She received the words of Satan. And she turned around and passed those words on to her husband, passed that fruit on to her husband. And he partook of the same type of word, the same type of fruit, which was contrary to what God had said to them. So this is the first woman that we see in biblical history, and we see that she made a decision to share with her husband, but he made a decision to receive it. So it may sound a bit confusing because it's contrary to what you have been taught through the years as far as Adam and his apple. But nevertheless, this is the light of the truth here. So we want to share that with you, not tradition, but truth. So when Satan approached her, you know, he thought that she was alone and vulnerable, and she really wasn't, because she was well covered. But she knew that she already knew what God had said, and she recognized the authority of God that was in her husband, and he partook of that same fruit. Another woman I want us to take a look at today is Zarephath. Now, there was a widow by the name that was in Zarephath. She was called the woman of Zarephath. She was a single mom, and she was facing economic hardship, like many moms do. Some of you may be doing right now. And her family didn't have enough food. She didn't have enough food to put on her table. And so she was in dire straits. And something we don't really consider today, because especially in America, where food is in abundance and people waste so much, throw away food every day. And so we don't consider that there are people who are struggling, and children who are going to bed hungry at night, or and sometimes at school, that's the only meal that they can get is at school. And I thank God, and I give a shout out to Park Avenue Elementary School in Stuttgart and the other elementary schools who are doing this. I just happen to know about this one, that every child gets a free lunch. I think that is absolutely wonderful. Every child gets a free lunch, because sometimes, you know, if you single a child out as a special lunch child, that affects their emotions. That affects their ability to feel a part of the whole. They feel like they've been singled out and something's wrong with their family. So I think it was brilliant, whoever came up with the idea that every child in elementary school, and I think it's throughout the state, I think that is so, definitely in the district, should get or have access to a free lunch, even if they choose to bring their lunch. That takes the pressure off the child and also off the parent, because they don't want to expose their hurts many times to people that they don't know and don't trust. So single moms who are struggling, or dads who are struggling, trying to put food on the table, we take for granted, because we have plenty, that others have plenty. And we have to come out of that mindset, because there are people all around us who are hurting. When you have more than your share, find someone to share with. I'll say that again. When you have more than your share, find someone to share with. It's in the giving and receiving that we learn to appreciate what God has blessed us with and trust Him as our provider. You may not have need of food on your table, but there's some mother's child who does have need for that food. You may not have need for that, but you may have need of healing. You may have need of something else in your life. So always share what you have access of. And sometimes when you have just two coats, give somebody one. That too can be a blessing. Mothers do those type of things because mothers are looking out for their children. Now, I'm not speaking of mother as in someone who had a baby, as delivered a child, nor am I speaking of, would speak of a father as in someone who impregnated a woman. I'm speaking of someone who's coming forth with a nurturing heart, who loves their baby, who will fight for their baby, who will defend their child, who will run out in the middle of traffic to grab that child, jump in a lake to save that baby from drowning. That is a mother. And some of you know those type of mothers. And so I applaud those mothers today. And as we take a look at another mother in the Bible, we see, well, no, I didn't finish with my sister in Zarephath. She had to learn how to trust God as the provider. So what happens to her? She's a widow. She's struggled, as many mothers do today, as I mentioned before. She was a single mom facing economic hardships, and she was worried about having enough food. But she was asked by God to do something. And she had little, but she had to give to someone else, something we probably wouldn't even consider when we just got a little bit. We just got enough for us. So, well, I can't afford to give a dollar because I only have a dollar. And so we think that we have to hold on to what we have so that we can conserve it. But that's not the way God sees things. God sees us through the eyes of abundance. He sees us through His the blood of Jesus, where there is nothing missing and nothing broken. So He knows that if we let it go, we will receive it back. So she had to learn to trust God as a provider. And if all you can spare is a can of corn, you need to give it. All you can spare is a slice of bread, then give it. And take it to the local food bank. Share it with those who don't have what you have. Even a single can of anything or, you know, whatever, a loaf of bread can make a difference in someone's life. So it's beautiful to God when we sacrifice out of what we have. And so this widow was called upon God to make a sacrifice, and she did. And when she made the sacrifice of food, she was able to receive back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It was given to her. That's the mother's heart. She didn't want to give her last when she had a child to feed, but she did it anyway. She obeyed God. How many of you heard about Hannah, a woman who had a child in her age years, but yet she learned to trust God with that child? She took her son, Samuel, and she brought him to the temple. She knew from the very beginning, she could see, a mother can see the gifts in a child, and the mother can choose to either cultivate that gift or destroy it. Hannah was a mother who wanted that gift cultivated. So she took him to a cultivator. She took him to the house of the Lord. And when she did that, he grew up in the presence of a priest and became the prophet in Israel. What a beautiful story of a mother turning her child over to God. And look at the harvest she received, someone who became a great prophet to Israel. I skipped the mother that I wanted to talk. Well, I really haven't skipped her yet. I can still talk about her. But Sarah, Abraham's wife, she was childless. She didn't have, she is 90 years old, and she had not had a child. And so she was barren, and she was was so desperate to have a child, or for Abraham to have a child, I believe was the desperation, that her husband would have a child or would have a son. So she gave Abraham her handmaiden, Hagar, to bear a son, but that wasn't the promised son. She bore, Hagar bore Ishmael, which was not the promised son, but he said the promised son would come from Sarah. And so she thought, she was laughing when the word came to them, and she thought that that was just so funny because her womb was dried up, and she just thought there was no way she was going to deliver a child. But she was dealing with God, and so God knew what he wanted to do in her body and in Abraham's life. This mother, Sarah, bore Isaac. And because God had said in Isaac would be the seed, and in him would be all the nations. Can you imagine being that old and waiting for delivery? Can you imagine the thoughts that went through Sarah's mind, and she's being 90 years old and having a child? Can you imagine? But yet, for the joy that was in her of pregnancy, I can imagine the expectations also of knowing that she would be the bearer of a seed that would bring forth nations. And out of that womb, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, out of Jacob came the 12 patriarchs of Israel, because Jacob's name was changed to Israel, remember. So we talked about Eve, we talked about Hannah, we talked about the widow at Zarephath. We talked about Hagar. We talked about Sarah. And we're not done with talking about these beautiful women of the Bible. You know, when I think about so many women, I think about the graceful and loving women that we see all around us every day. And as we take a look at their lives and see how they reflect motherhood and how they project it out into the world. Now, not only are they watch women over their own children, but they become watch women over their neighbors' kids, over other people's children. And I, not being a biological mother, I look at other people's children when I'm out in the marketplace, because some of you know that I had my tenure in the classroom with the little ones, the third and fourth graders, and looking out and you see children and you see the parent-child connection, and typically, usually when they're in the marketplace, they're with their mothers, and when they are with their dads, and when you see a dad being as nurturing as a mom, you applaud him, because you don't often see that. But when you do see it, you applaud it. But those mothers that are out there in the marketplace with their children, and you're looking out for them. You hear a child cry. Do you know how have you noticed how you turn? You turn. Or you see a child smiling, or you pass a woman in the aisle with a little baby in the cart, you always pay attention. At least I do. I don't know. Maybe other people don't as much, but I do. And I acknowledge, oh, beautiful child. You notice how we do that? That is the heart of God. Acknowledging that little baby, acknowledging the presence of that little angel in that baby. Isn't that beautiful how we do that? And we're not even conscious that we're doing it, but we are acknowledging those children, because indeed, whether male or female, the mother heart of God is available as a born again child of God to everyone. I love this talk, this motherly talk we're having today. I've got to take a pause, but we're going to continue our conversations about these beautiful women of Scripture and remind you of some beautiful women that you have in your life today. Back in a moment, y'all.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Mother's Day means different things to different people. For some, it's sad because they no longer have their mother around them. I know my mother is no longer here in body, but her spirit is still alive in the earth. And so I can appreciate those little nuggets and those little lessons that I learned from my mom. And I want you to think about this today. Why don't you assign yourself? I can't really assign you homework, but you can assign it for yourself as a suggestion for me, that you would write down 10 things you love about mom. 10 things, and give that to your mother if she's still here. And if it's 10 things out of memory of your mom, write it down for yourself and tuck it away in a special book, whether it's your Bible or a special book that you're reading. 10 things I like about my mother, or 10 things I remember about my mom, just to keep that memory intact. Because there are things that our mother gives us, our mothers have given us and will give us. For those of you who still have your mom and are younger, you can't get from anywhere else. You cannot get from anyone else. The things your mother taught you that you did not learn in the classroom. There is no triple letter degree to teach you some of the things that only mama can share with you. I remember the story of Rebecca in scripture. For Rebecca, she was a woman of great faith. She obeyed God when Isaac's servant came to her and told her about the man that she would marry, or the man that wanted to marry her. And in those days, if someone came after you, you know, and the father approved, then off you went. And so in Genesis 25, it tells us about Rebecca when she became pregnant, and there were a jostling within her. There was a turning and a battle within her womb. And she was inquiring of the Lord, what's going on in my belly? What is going on in this pregnancy? And the Lord told her that there were two nations in her womb. Can you imagine getting that word from God? Any of you may be pregnant, or two nations that are in your womb, two peoples from within you will be separated. One will be stronger than the other. And then he said this to her, that the older would serve the younger. So in that time that the older would serve the younger, and the firstborn would have inherited the best of everything. So that's what the word of the Lord was to her. And so when Isaac got old, he told Esau, who was the hunter in the family and very hairy, he was reddish, I believe the Bible said, he was reddish and hairy, and he went, told him to go hunt, prepare food. Isaac knew that it was almost his time to leave, to die. And so Rebecca overheard this conversation, and she turned and told Jacob, her the youngest, you go bring him the food and prepare it for Isaac, because she knew that Isaac was about to pass the blessing on. And whenever the father would speak the blessing in the house, whoever received the blessing received that inheritance. They received the power that went with that blessing, and they would become the next patriarch of the clan. So she wanted Jacob to receive that rather than Esau. And so she sent Jacob out ahead of Esau. And she had Jacob to prepare the food. And so she took it in, he took it in instead of Esau. So by the time Esau got back, the blessing had already been passed on to Jacob, and Esau was too late, because Jacob had gotten the blessing. And so Isaac said, well, the blessing is already gone. And so later on, Rebecca had Jacob to escape, to go out. See, she's protecting this son. And I don't know why some mothers do it. They just have favorite children. You, I know you guys don't do that, do you? Have favorite children, and you can tell it. I come from a very large family, and I can tell you that there were mama favorites, daddy favorites, and then there was me in the middle, I guess. There were those that were just drifters, like there were favorites, and I don't know why. This just seems to be that way. I watch it with people that I know. They just seem to have their favorite child and or favorite grandchild that they depend upon and bring more blessings to than other children. I don't know what that does to a child, but you know, if you do that, don't do that. So Rebecca risked deception to follow God's promise, she thought, and his plan unfolded exactly as he told her. You know, the elder shall serve the younger. And that's what happened, because Jacob received the blessing. And but later on in life, Jacob had a wrestling match with God, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. So that's what happened with Rebecca, because she was crafty, she was smart, she was beautiful, and she remembered the word of the Lord. And what appeared to be very deceptive was her practicing to make sure that her son that God had prophesied to her would be the leader, would maintain his position. And as we know, the story ends up where Esau sells his birthright anyway to Jacob, for he had sold his birthright for one morsel of meat. He came in, he was hungry, and he sold his birthright. So we see this story in biblical history, these mothers, these women that some people may say, well, I can't identify with them because, you know, I don't have two baby wrestling in my womb and I don't have this story, but you do have a story. As a mother, what are your greatest stories about your child? You're going to write 10 things that you remember about your mother, or 10 things that your mother taught you. Okay. And then as a mother, what are the three things for each child? Because some of you may have 10 children, so we don't want to tie up your day. What are the three things about each child that you remember, or even one thing that you love about your child? Each child, whether it's 6 children, 1 child, write at least 1 to 3 things about what you love about your child. And if you don't have any children, you have nieces or nephews, pick out some children that are close to you in your immediate reach that you can point out something beautiful about that child. Feel the feeling of what it is that you have for that child. Oh, I love Johnny because he is so respectful and kind. I went to have lunch with a niece in her elementary school recently, and she was just, I couldn't, with all the kids in the same uniform, it's kind of hard sometimes to pick out yours. And so I'm standing there thinking, well, okay, maybe she'll see me. And true enough, as before, she runs up to me and go, hey, Auntie Faye, and you came to have lunch with me. So yep, I did. And to see all of these children around, you know, so I can think about my little niece, I can think about my little nephews, I can think about those beautiful moments, those times, and how excited they get when you just do something off the cuff. You just do it because you do it. And see their response and their appreciation and gratitude for the little things, the little small things, extra French fries or whatever it is. You know, find out. And so we said, Dr. Faye, why are you giving us homework here on Sunday? Well, here's the thing. Unless we can appreciate the little things, we cannot experience the glory of the bigger things. Being connected with God, living from a place of gratitude I can't even tell you how wonderful that is, to live from a place of gratitude. Remember in the Bible, those of you who are Bible readers and those of you who are not, just follow along. I won't tell you any strange tales. They're all true in the Bible. When Jacob, this one that this one that we were speaking of earlier, he went to stay with his uncle, and he met one of his uncle's daughters, and Rachel, and he loved her. Yeah, this was biblical history. People married their cousins, and he met one of his, and in some places they still do. So her name was Rachel, and he loved her. And he wanted her for his wife. And he was willing to work for her for 7 years because this woman was amazing, apparently. But the father, his uncle, let him work for 7 years. And then he tricked him. He was a trickster, a devil. So he tricked him. And he gave him Leah instead because she was the oldest daughter. And Jacob said, no, this won't work. I worked for you for 7 years because I wanted Rachel, and then you gave me Leah. And so Jacob agreed to work 7 more years for Rachel. And so Leah began to bear children for Jacob because he knew that Jacob really loved Rachel. So both women ended up giving their maid servants to Jacob, who in turn, their maid servants began to bear children. And then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her cry, her prayer, and he empowered her to conceive. And she bore 2 sons. Now, this is the beginning of the 12 tribes of Israel coming forth from Leah and Rachel. And Rachel bore 2 sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And before she died in childbirth, with Benjamin, she still knew that Jacob's heart belonged to her sister Rachel. So he became the father of these 12 tribes of Israel that we've heard about through history. And God blessed them both, and he continued the promise that he had made with Abraham and Sarah, the Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations. These are powerful truths as we follow the models of the mothers in the Bible, and these strength, oh man, amazing strength that we saw in women of those times. But ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you that even though we have them as some historical models, there are some amazing models in the earth today of women who are doing incredible things, making amazing changes all over the world, and are impacting the lives of nations because they understand what it means to be a mother. They understand what it means to keep loving and keep giving and keep sharing their lives. We have, you know, there are women who are raising their children right now and are just doing an incredible work. Perhaps you're one of those women and you've been struggling as a single mom or grandparent, grands as parents. You've been doing that and you have found it difficult to raise your child because of hardships. I want you to know, if you turn to God today, he will do for you what he did for these women in biblical history. Biblical history is still history that's happening today. I don't think the book of Revelation was the end of God speaking and moving and doing great things in the earth. I think the Bible is a historical fact book full of truths, but that's not all that God has to say, and it is not that all that God is doing. God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What he did then, he is doing now. Is so we can fast forward all of that to now. It is current events. It is not something that has passed away. He is still moving in our lives today. He's moving in your life as a mother, as a grandparent who's raising children who may be struggling right now. I want you to know that you are not alone in this battle. And these women in the Bible, in biblical history, show us today in written form that we are not alone. There's a plan for our lives. There's a plan for your life, and God knows how to make it happen. I want us to talk about, before we take a pause here in just a couple of minutes, I did want to talk about this particular mother before we do that. Now, she's one of my favorites, and I'm going to tell you why. Because she's a Hebrew woman, and a decree has gone out or a law has been passed that every child 2 years old and under in Israel that's of a Hebrew origin is about to die. So she does something very crafty. She has a basket and she takes her baby and she places him in this basket. She wraps him up and places him in a basket and put him in the river Nile. Now, that took a lot of faith. A lot of faith. Because the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he came to power. He was under no obligations to honor the power or the deeds of Joseph, who had come down in Egypt and had was one of the patriarchs, and one of the tribe had come down in Egypt, had gained authority because his brother sold him out, and he began to be the second in command under Pharaoh during the land of famine. And so there was an alliance and a loyalty there to the king of Egypt and the king of Egypt to Joseph. But Joseph was gone, the old Pharaoh was gone, and there was that old, the new Pharaoh did not care about what the old Pharaoh had promised the Hebrew children. So these Hebrew women, when they gave birth, they saw that what Egypt was intimidated that these Hebrews were growing, they were multiplying, they were getting stronger, their men were getting stronger, and it looked like a nation on the rise. And so they wanted to overthrow that nation at birth. So what they devised to do is to kill all of the newborn boys, leave the girls alone, but we're gonna throw all the baby boys in the Nile so that they would drown. But this little Hebrew woman, she said, he's going in the Nile, but not like that. He went wrapped in a basket, wrapped in cloths, wrapped in the basket, and he sailed down the Nile. And so what happens? And she's given birth to him and nurtured him. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, after she placed him in and she hid him in the midst of reeds, you know, the branches or whatever, along the banks of the Nile. And there was her daughter watched to see which way the basket would go. And as it happened, Pharaoh's daughter, the king's daughter, now here it is, one mother sending him down the Nile, the daughter watching him as the basket floats down the Nile River. The king's daughter is out taking a bath. So she sees this basket floating down the river. She has her servants to go get it and bring it to her. And then she found the baby inside crying. And she knew that he was a Hebrew baby, so she felt sorry for him. And so she takes him for her own child and began to send out the word, I need a Hebrew mom to come in to nurse this child. And so they get the mother of the baby, unknowingly, get the mother of the baby. She's being paid to nurse her own baby. Isn't God good? She's being paid to nurse her own baby and to raise her own baby until he's old enough to come live with the queen, the Pharaoh's daughter, the queen, the princess, I guess, at that time. So she adopted him. He's adopted by the princess of Egypt as her own son, and she named him Moses because she found him floating down the Nile. Wow, this is so good on Mother's Day, but I've got to go. I'll be right back. Don't you mothers move. I'm coming back with more on historical mothers.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, so these mothers that we've talked about are all phenomenal. We've noticed that they have done some things that have literally changed the course of history. Look at what Eve did. Boy, did that change the course of things. But thank God that it didn't stay that way. God had a plan for redemption to bring us back to Him so that we could take His words in and not Satan's words. Amen? So we can learn how to receive the right words. So Moses ends up being Pharaoh's daughter's son. And she raised him as a king. He was raised as the prince of Egypt, as a matter of fact. That's what mothers will do. Do what they got to do to save their own children. Fight for their child. There was a mother recently, and she was fighting for her child. He was wrong as sin, but she was fighting for her child. She said, oh, that's my child. That's my child. And she couldn't see. She couldn't see the light. Her love for her child blinded her. And sometimes love can, that kind of love can be extremely toxic, what we call love. And they don't, sometimes mothers may not understand that there is a love that you have to love them enough to let them go. Kind of love. Mothers who allow sons to stay with them, 40-year-old men still living at home. There has to be that type of love, mothers, that you can open the door and say, give me my key. I'm changing the lock. That love that you have to let go. And some mothers, perhaps we need to do an entire show that the mothers who let their sons stay too long in a place when it's time to let them go, to say, you know what? You've been in my house long enough. Get your own house. It's time to go. So this mother, in this Hebrew mother, she let her son, she was willing to let him go. Little did she know, I think her name was Jochebed, she did not know that she would still end up nursing her own son. Ah, God is so awesome. That's just an amazing story to me. An amazing story. This next mother I want to tell you about quickly. She was Samson's mother. And she wasn't really given a lot of praise. But gosh, look at what her son did. And the Bible just simply says in the book of Judges, at the 13th chapter, how the angel of the Lord appeared to her, and it said, you are barren and childless. And then wonderful angels say things like, okay, yeah, I know that. But you are going to become pregnant, that part you didn't know, and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink and that you do not eat anything unclean. Isn't that beautiful? Same thing a doctor would tell a pregnant woman. Don't go drinking. You know, you will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And we know the story of Samson from Sunday school. Many of us, how his mother knew that there was something special about the angel of the Lord. And when her husband was afraid they would die for having seen the face of God, she became the voice of reasoning in the madness of the season. And so And she had to convince her husband, the angel of God would not come to us and tell us about our future and then kill us. So she gave birth to baby Samson. The Lord blessed him. And his actions are unquestionable as he began to move throughout the land and became this one being that entire armies were afraid of him. Oh, they shuddered. So they set him up with this seducer, Delilah. And he ends up falling. But what he did before he fell has not been forgotten. Another mother, I want to talk about this mother, this mother-in-law in the Bible. And some of these, you'll find yourselves, ladies, in this position. And some of you gentlemen, you'll find yourself because you have a heart. I don't know, for some reason, we think that men don't have hearts to be mothers. I beg to differ. There are so many men with nurturing hearts. I've watched one man take care of his mom. And I said, well, how beautiful is this? These are the stories we really don't get on the 6 o'clock news, how this man put his career on hold to go take care of his mother and nurturing her, making sure people came in to care for her, protected her privacy because he knew that she would prefer a woman for bathing and all of these things, looking out for her. And I applaud men with nurturing hearts. A woman by the name of Naomi, she's really known for being a mother-in-law rather than a mother, because the story opens up in the book of Ruth. We don't really get to know her as mother to her sons or as a wife to her husband, because in the first chapter, we see that they're all dead. They died. And so she's manless in her life, and so are her daughter-in-laws. And she tells them to go back home, go get you another husband, because I'm not going to give birth to anybody else right about now. That day in my life is over with. You go find you another man. So one of the daughter-in-laws chose to go away, Oprah. And she chose to go back to her homeland, but Ruth decided that she was going to stay with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She had left the God of the Moabites, and she had watched Ruth pray to her God, heard her pray to her God, and she decided that she would not turn back. And she said, where you go, I'll go, and where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God, and where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. We're going to be together for life, is what Ruth was telling her. What kind of woman was Naomi that Ruth would make that type of commitment to her? I can tell you what kind of woman she was. She was a godly woman. She was a woman who understood what it meant to worship God and to praise him. And Ruth fell in love with Naomi's God, and she became her surrogate daughter, which she was a daughter-in-law. So she became a surrogate daughter. It's such a beautiful love story, the book of Ruth, because we find that as Ruth honored Naomi as her mother, that's why it's so good to honor your mothers, ladies and gentlemen. So as she honored her mother, a mother-in-law who actually in this story for all intended purposes is her mother now. And she looked out for her. She went and gathered food for her, even if it was just the leftovers from the handmaidens of the richest man in town. She brought that food back home for she and Naomi to live off of. And Naomi asked Ruth one day, she said, where are you getting this? Because a man by the name of Boaz had taken note of Ruth as she was out in the field. He said, who is this girl? She's new in town. Why is she out here gathering the scraps? And the servant said, oh, she came back with Naomi. And she is her daughter-in-law. She's a widow, and she's just helping her mother-in-law now. She's making sure she takes care of this elderly lady. And so Boaz said, very interesting. I like that about her. I'll tell you what you do. Leave extra food on purpose for her. Leave extra grain for her. Make sure she has plenty. So they made sure she had access to excess. Yeah. So she had access to excess, right? So she took the food back home, the grain back home to Naomi. Naomi said, whoa, girl, you're bringing in all of this food. We got more than enough. We have so much. Who is this man who's blessing you? And Ruth tells her, his name is Boaz, and he's this rich man, and he has all of these servants. He has this, he has that. She said, oh, that's great. She said, I know this man. He is a kinsman redeemer. He's the one that can stand in line to take care of you, because he is related to us. And so they find this out. Ultimately, what happens, Ruth ends up marrying Boaz. She ends up being in the lineage of Jesse, who is the father of David, the psalmist. and in the lineage of Jesus Christ on the natural side of things. So look how great that turned out. What a great story. You think, well, Dr. Faye, I wish my life would turn out all goody like that, that things would just kind of happen in that way. But you know what? God has a plan for your life. It's not that you're going to know every step along the way. Naomi didn't know every step along the way. Neither did Ruth. But Ruth just knew that she did not need to leave her mother-in-law, that she needed to stay planted where she was and continue to stay at Naomi's feet, continue to nurture her. Someone had to take care of her. She was not going to abandon Naomi. So she stayed with her. So it's one of the beautiful love stories in the Bible. Some of you who may not like reading the Bible, if you want to read about love story, you talk about Hallmark movies, this is so much better. These stories are so great. The story of Hannah that was married to a man who loved her so much. But he also had another wife, which was common in biblical history. And don't you do that though. But this wife was able to bear children. The Lord had closed up Hannah's womb. And so this rival wife, this other woman, but was still the wife, she would provoke Hannah. So she would make fun of her. Oh, you barren womb girl, you don't have no children. You know, you don't have any children. I can have babies. You can't have babies. So she was, you know, provoking her, taunting her, mocking her. But her husband, Hannah's husband, tried to console her that you mean more to me than 10 sons. Oh, wasn't that sweet? You mean more to me, baby, than having 10 sons. So, but Hannah did something, even though she appreciated what her husband said to her, she did something powerful. She prayed. She prayed. How about that? She prayed. And when she prayed, she said, Lord Almighty. Yes, she did. If you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. She understood that. And when she did that, God blessed her womb and she delivered a child. Yes, because she prayed. Somebody said, mothers know how to pray. And she said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. When we stop and think about the beauty of motherhood, we think about Mary bringing birth to Jesus and how Elizabeth, her cousin, was already 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, the one who would be the forerunner for Jesus. And as Mary received the news from Gabriel, the angel, and Mary went to her cousin Elizabeth, and before Mary could say hello, John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth's womb started doing a dance. Because Elizabeth said, oh, here is the mother of my Lord. And she said, before you could even speak, I knew. And she began to praise the Lord. And she said, he's done this for me. He's shown me favor. So this visit, John the Baptist witnessed inside of Elizabeth's womb that the Lord Jesus was inside of Mary. Isn't that just beautiful? Mary was called blessed among women. How awesome is that? She was there for her son all the way through. Everything he went through. Can you imagine them trying to hold her back? They could not keep her from standing at that cross. They could not keep her from weeping. They could not keep her from crying out, saying, that's my son hanging on that cross. That's my son that came out of my womb. I know he's the son of God, but he's also my son. That's my baby boy. That's the one who came out of my womb in a stable. That's the one that I wrapped in animal cloths and laid in a manger. That's my son. Her heart was still broken, even though she knew that he was the son of God, because he came out from her. And her legacy, her name is remembered today. Some have created statues around her, shrines around her, worshiping her, because that's her son too, that was hanging on the cross. Yes, Emmanuel, God with us. Mothers and fathers, regardless of what your child has done and what you may be experiencing right now, it is my prayer and hope that one of these mothers sparked something, the teaching today, sparked something on the inside of you to help you remember the purpose of motherhood and how God has made you an agent of change in that child's life. Oh, perhaps they're 30 now and you really need to let them go. They're a teenager and they're not listening to you anymore, and you're trying to control their soul. The best thing to do is to do what each of these women have done at one time or another. They prayed. They turned to God. And that's what you do. You turn to God and turn them over to the Lord and trust him with those lives. Those of you who send your children off to school every day, you pray over them. You pray over their schools. You let them know that you're available to them. Sit down with them. Have counsel with them. Have family night. Have mother-daughter time, mother-son time. Do what you need to do to put your child in a basket and make sure he or she is safe. Do what you need to do to make sure their inheritance is intact. Sometimes you've got to fight, but let your fighting be weapons of the spirit and not weapons of natural destruction, because those things don't work. They're temporary. But when you turn to God, the battle is the Lord's and not yours. Those of you who have sons and daughters that may be incarcerated, pray and let them go and trust God with the outcome. He won't fail you. It's been great being with you today. Thank you for listening to another Intentional on this very special Mother's Day. I rejoice with you and celebrate this great opportunity. Until next time, don't forget to join us for the encore at 4 p.m. You're always free to donate here at the America Out Loud platform at thedrfaye.com/Dr. Faye. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day, everybody. Bye-bye now.